religious studies at Edgewood College. He's also the pastor of a Lutheran church in Richland Center. Larry had a young male student in his class on Christian ethics who had rejected Christianity and angrily spoke out against the church for its exclusivism, patriarchy, sexism, homophobia, rigidity, enslavement to doctrine at the expense of the poor. Larry listened earnestly to Bill's rant, agreed that there's a lot to be angry about, and presented a very different picture of a church that might truly be living by the values and the vision of Jesus of Nazareth. Eventually, Bill's heart was captivated and his mind convinced by the values of the kingdom of God. Well, the church that Larry Engel pastors is called Five Points, a small rural Norwegian family church that has about 40 people in worship each Sunday. They're probably meeting right this morning along with us. About 5 minutes into the service one Sunday morning, the door opened and in walked Bill and five other students from the Christian ethics class. There was a young bisexual woman with purple hair and a nose ring whose experience of church had been very difficult. An Egyptian woman with a Coptic church background who had left conservative Christianity when she moved to the States. A divorced life coach entrepreneur. A tax accountant who was spiritual but not religious. And a liberal Lutheran woman who was the only active churchgoer. So walking right up the aisle, smiling and waving at Larry, the group situated themselves in a pew in the middle of the church. Larry was delighted, of course, to see them arrive, total surprise to him, and he introduced them to the congregation. Bill, this atheist turned Christian student, stood up and said, "We are Larry's religious studies class from Edgewood College. Larry introduced us to a Jesus we never knew and to a different way of being church. We wanted to say thanks and to surprise him with a visit. So we caravaned from Madison. Sorry we're late." Well, after the service, the church members invited the six students to a pancake breakfast at a local American Legion. The eyes of the church members and the Legion members danced with wonderment at the flair and the style of these young, colorful seekers of truth. Jesus of Nazareth had a clear vision for the restructuring and renewal of society according to the values of the kingdom of God. That vision is as compelling and transformative for six college students living in the 21st century as it was for people in the first century. Well, there's John, my partner. We've been together 20 years. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. Where is he this morning? I always invite him, even if he doesn't attend. So my partner, John, teaches religious studies at Edgewood College also. Whenever he introduces his students to the vision and the values of Jesus, he draws a pyramid and a circle on the blackboard. John asks, "How is the universe organized and structured? Like a circle or a pyramid?" Like a circle, of course. We think of the globe of the earth, the moon, the planets, the stars. We think of the ever-expanding circle of the universe. We think of the circle of life in which all things coexist in balance and in harmony. But then John asks, "How is human society organized and structured? Like a circle or a pyramid?" Like a pyramid, of course. We think of hierarchy, chain of command, and the pecking order, right? Don't we think of emperors, kings, governors, generals, millionaires, CEOs, even religious officials on the top of the pyramid with everyone else underneath? Those with the power, prestige, status, and wealth are in charge. Then John shares with his students such passages as the one that Phil read from us, Luke chapter 6, which is all about humans relating to one another with selfless compassion, inclusivity, generosity, kindness, forgiveness, and service. So, according to Jesus, John asks, how is the kingdom of God organized and structured? Like a circle or a pyramid? At the end of the semester, John asks his students to write about what they learned and what mattered most to them as a result of taking the class. Inevitably, the students write about the pyramid and the circle. That's their takeaway. For they entered the class assuming that life as they know it would always be organized by the people on top calling the shots for those on the bottom. But they leave the class, understanding that they have an option to challenge such a construct, dismantle the pyramid, and reconstruct society according to the values of the kingdom of God. In our closing song this morning, we're going to sing, Draw the Welcome Circle Wider. The lyrics, draw the welcome circle wider. Gather friends and strangers in, formed of holy breath and stardust. Born of God, we are all kin. I'm thinking that most of us chose to be identified with the Christian movement precisely because of passages like Luke chapter 6. We want to be part of a movement where people aspire to live a life of love. Yes, we will fall far short of love's high standard again and again, but hopefully we'll get right back up and try again. As we dismantle the pyramid by drawing the circle wider, we need to continually be asking ourselves these questions from Luke 6, and I invite us to read each of these questions aloud, slowly, meditatively, with a brief pause in between each one. Shall we read together? How well do we love our enemies? Do our enemies bring out the best in us or the worst? When people provoke us, do we pray for them? Do we return evil with good? Do we really treat people in the way we'd like to be treated ourselves? Do we genuinely love, help, and give to everyone, or only to our family and friends? When we extend ourselves openly and generously to others, are we secretly hoping for something in return? Do we focus on the faults of others and criticize them, or do we believe the best about them? These questions are not only good for us as individuals, but for households, communities of faith, neighborhoods, cities, states, even nations. It's easy to identify ourselves Christian, but a very different thing, a very difficult thing to live Christianly. In fact, it's impossible to live Christianly, which is why we desperately need the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to love the world through us. Why we desperately need the community of faith here at Orchard Ridge, believers who model for us this life of love and train us in it. Which is why we desperately need the advances of science, which have helped us realize the danger of living exclusively by the impulses and reactions of our less evolved reptilian part of the brain, and the wisdom of living by the more evolved higher consciousness, which may be centered in the more evolved frontal lobe of the neocortex of the brain. Living by our higher consciousness enables us to think before we act, enables us to choose to maintain a non-anxious presence and composure, regardless of what happens to us. We certainly know love when we see it, don't we? I saw extraordinary love in Bill Rui, who was part of this community for 91 years, for most of his 91 years, pardon me. Again and again, I witnessed a miracle of love every time I sat at the lunch table with Bill at over 55. Bill was always quite silent most of the meal, but he was listening to every word spoken. Then I'd catch a twinkle in his eye just before he'd open his mouth to speak. Always, he would share a story that included a piece of everyone else's story at the table. In that way, affirming everyone else at the table and valuing their experience and their wisdom. I'd think to myself, what a gift you are to us, Bill. When I'd actually thank him for that gift, he'd shrug his shoulders. It was nothing. Conversely, we certainly know hatred, rage, and violence when we see it. Every week I visit a young man in jail who's there for an act of violence. I'm humbled to be included in his emotional and cognitive struggle to overcome evil with good. He easily gets riled up remembering the actions of the victim, which provoked him to anger and violence in the first place. He gets extremely agitated thinking about the police officers who arrested him, the DA and the judge who recommended and set a very high bail, the public defender who won't return his phone calls. He'll probably be in jail for a very long time, and he's full of rage about it. I see it in his eyes, and I hear it in his voice. But he's also in conversation with himself about all of this. He'll pause, reflect, and say to me, you know, I'm really just thinking about all this out loud, but I really don't intend to ever do violence to anyone ever again. Working with this man is a constant and needed reminder to me that we're all in this circle together, doing the best we can. Living one day at a time, taking one step forward and sometimes two back. I see myself in my friend when he's at his worst and sometimes when he's at his best, and I'm no different from him. Were I walking in his shoes, I would be sitting in jail right now, wrestling with my own demons, fixating on the inequities and the injustices of a broken society. Were he walking in my shoes, he would be standing in front of you preaching right now, humbly acknowledging his own shortcomings, hoping for one more opportunity to visit his friend Ken in jail. Therefore, we don't judge one another. Instead, we stand in solidarity with one another, walking shoulder to shoulder, acknowledging that we're all weak and fallible people, trying hard to grow stronger, trying to manage one day at a time. I give Jesus a lot of credit. He knew his vision and values of the kingdom of God, his vision for a just and equitable society would cost him his life by the powers of empire. But he preached and lived his vision and values anyway. He preached the kingdom of God, which is, in fact, a circle of all earth beings and human beings sharing equally so that there's enough for all to flourish. He condemned the pyramid of empire, where the wealthy and privileged elite on the top use their status and power to dominate and control those on the bottom. As Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, the land of the pyramids, into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. So Jesus leads his disciples away from the pyramids of empire, into the circle of God's kingdom of love. Idealistic. And many of us, 2,000 years after the time of Jesus, continue to live by this very same ideal. Amen.